you are going to admit tonight, I believe, that you dispensed disinformation. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. That's what our in the arena of intelligence, you have different types of intelligence. You have intelligence gatherers and you have counterintelligence. And one task of a counterintelligence division is to make sure that our secrets are protected.
Got it.
And here
we've got a man who thought that there were aliens among us, as it were, and right in his backyard and over the Air Force base that you were working for. And so what did you tell him?
Well, we convinced him. We had a two-tier way of doing this. The first thing we did was we became very interested in everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted him to think that we were very, very concerned with everything that he had. In fact, at some point later on, NSA became involved in this because they were extremely interested in some of the equipment that he had, because he was actually tapping into a particular type of communications that he shouldn't have been able to do. And so NSA wanted to know, how did he do that?
Right.
So we became very, very good friends, and it's one thing you do in counterintelligence. You become friends with a person, you start vetting him, you start...
Makes sense, yes.
Yeah, and then eventually you start feeding him information. And what we did was we convinced him that what he was picking up wasn't anything classified from the base, but in fact it probably was of alien origin.
My goodness. Did you really... And how did you do that? What did you say to him to convince him of that?
Well, we didn't have to say really anything. He had the forethought already that what he was picking up, he had an idea.
Yes.
Initially, he thought maybe it was classified. He told us, listen, if I tapped into something, you know, let me know. Well, we weren't going to do that because we don't know who his friends were. And we couldn't really, he wasn't a trusted person. So what we did was we said, well, I think what you tapped into is something unknown. So let's work together on this, Paul. So we did, and what we did was we were using his own, everything that he gathered, and we were just turning it around and making him, convincing him what he was looking at wasn't anything from the base, but it was alien origin.
Alien in origin.
Exactly.
Yes. So you hardly had to say anything, sort of a wink and a nod perhaps at the right moment, or sort of a confirming smile, or nothing more serious than that?
That's it. Initially. We had to do some other things eventually down the road, but initially...
Like what?
Eventually down the road, he claimed that there was a alien base at Archuleta, Peak or Archuleta Mountain up near Dulce, New Mexico, in the northern portion of New Mexico.
Many people have thought that, yes.
Right. And so what we did, he kept going up there. He was a pilot. Paul was a pilot, and he would fly up there, and he would photograph things. And he was convinced that the things that he was photographing was actually an alien base.
Uh-huh.
So what we did was we went ahead and fortified his thought by putting a fence up there around some certain things, bringing in some helicopters from Fort Carson, Colorado Army helicopters, which, by the way, they were using that area as a training base also. I mean, it was a classified, at that time, it's not anymore, but at that time it was a classified training area for special operations missions. And they were up there, they were using that area. So there was already helicopters flying around up there.
Well, what'd you do, paint them dark jet black or something?
We had a couple of black helicopters, and we had some things planted onto the ground around Archuleta Peak, and just to convince him that what he was actually looking at, he thought it was an alien base.
So it served your purpose. There was probably no other way to stop him from doing what he was doing, so simply convince him that his suspicions are correct. And you have somebody who's just regarded as a nut, and the whole thing is dismissed. Is that the rough idea?
That's a rough idea. It's easier for us to have done it that way than to get a warrant, search warrant, and a seizure warrant, and seize all his property, seize his equipment, and you know what would that do? That would cause a lot of publicity.
Of course.
And the wrong type of publicity that the base wanted.
Well, Richard, many of us want to know how such operations are done. And I guess what I'd like to know, Richard, is how universal you think this kind of tactic is.
It is quite, at least at that time. I'm out of the business now, and I've been out for a long time. But during the, I know during the 60s and 70s and into the 80s, it was widespread. It was a primary tactic used by U.S. intelligence for a number of things. We're not just talking about UFOs or aliens. We're talking about a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
You can use disinformation to disinform anyone about anything if you play your cards right. Now, one thing about disinformation, and this wasn't the only operation we did against somebody with UFO information. But one of the things is giving them enough information that some information that is credible for them to lead them along the path.
Oh yes, because well the very best lies, of course, have nuggets of truth buried at
exactly,
their center.
Exactly. And this is an art that is taught. I mean, I didn't come up with all this myself. I was trained. I mean,
did you go to disinformation school?
Well, it was a counterintelligence and counterespionage school, but that's what they taught you.
Yes. So there was lots of people believed in underground and still do that there's an underground base at Dulce, right?
Yes.
And I suppose lots of people still think there's something going on in and around Kirtland Air Force Base.
I'm sure they probably still do. There are some myths that float over the base, and they still do. I mean, there's people, especially old timers that live around there. They still think that there's an underground base, and they still think that there's a UFO hidden inside Manzano.
Mm-hmm, I've heard that, yes. So this whole thing, then, is one gigantic myth, and it's a myth that you admit, as a disinformation specialist, that you planted.
Well, it just wasn't me. It was a team. I couldn't have done this all myself.
Do you feel any guilt for this?
Later on, yes. Absolutely. It was meant to be a short-term operation to disinform him and then kind of walk away from it and let Paul think and do. Disinformation, if you play your cards right,
yes.
If the operation's right, all you have to do is plant the seed and walk away, and that person carries it on. And he informs others, and the others believe him. And it just blossoms.
Well, are you aware that, according to Greg, Paul spent some time in a psychiatric facility?
Yes, and I visited him. I visited Paul a number of times. I became good friends with Paul, and towards the end of this operation, I tried to convince Paul. And now, this wasn't me as a OSI agent. This was me as a person, because I was concerned about Paul's health.
Yes.
I was trying to convince Paul, and I went through his son to do this, that, hey, everything we told you before, Paul, isn't true. And I explained to him why we were doing it. But he never believed me.